If you have your Bible, would you join me in the New Testament book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 6. And as you get your hands free, we can make our confession together. You can keep searching. Ephesians chapter 6. And Lord, today I come before you and stand before you in need and acknowledge just, Lord, that I don't have anything to say that's going to matter outside of you. So, Lord, may you give me the words, even as I prepared. Lord, it's got to be by your Spirit now. It's not by human might nor power, but by your Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help me to say only what you would have me to say, how you would have me to say it, but help me to say all of what you would have me to say. So that ultimately your will is accomplished, your kingdom grows, and you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I really want to just center on one verse here. Verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The message this morning is from that reference, five words, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Would you say that with me? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You know, it's possible we can be strong physically. We can be strong intellectually. Have you heard anyone ever referred to as they're an intellectual giant intellectually? We could be strong emotionally, but the only way that we can be strong spiritually, and what I mean by that is the next verse talks about how we can stand against the schemes and tactics of the devil to make us fall. And the only way that we can be strong that way, the only way we can be strong spiritually to stand against the tactics of the devil is to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in him. He is the source of our strength. And I want to just give you some scripture this morning just to start off, just that there be no doubt that God wants us to be strong in him. And so before I ask you to turn to chapter 3, let me read that same verse in the Amplified. It'll be on the screen. I just want to let it break it down a little bit and see how it's worded here. Ephesians 6:10 in the Amplified says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. And this is what that means. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. So to be strong in the Lord means we're drawing our strength from him, and he is the source of our power and our strength spiritually. Then he says, the scripture says this, if you turn to Ephesians 3:16, this is a prayer that one of the Lord's apostles prayed for the church. So this is a prayer revealing the heart of God for his people, for us. And the prayer says, Ephesians 3:16, that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That means to be strengthened with might through his spirit within. So God wants us to be strong in the Lord because he wants us to be strong for the Lord. If you want to just stay right there in Ephesians, let me give you a scripture reference. I'll read it to you from Joshua chapter 1 if you want to write it down. Joshua chapter 1. And the Lord is speaking to Joshua here, and Moses has died. He led the people for 40 years, and he saw incredible miracles. God called him when he was 80 years old. He saw the Red Sea open up. See, I see some of y'all were, see, you're not too old. to serve. So he saw, manna come down out of heaven, water come out of a rock, leading the people. He dies, and God goes to Joshua and says, "You're up." How'd you like to follow his footsteps? So God tells him in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Notice again verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Then verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall," what? Meditate. The Hebrew could actually say mutter. It's to meditate scripturally means to say it and think on it. All right, so in God's word, he says, meditate on it day and night so that you may observe to do. I highlighted that in my Bible. Observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. You know, it's possible to have a bad success. What I mean by that is some people can become successful in the world's eyes and that success destroys them. So God can give us good success and prosper in his will. And then one more, verse 9. "Have I not commanded you," and here he says it again, "be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed." And here is the key. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Do you see how God wants us to be strong? Be strong, be strong, be strong, be very courageous, be courageous. I'm with you. That's the key. So be strong in the Lord. Would you turn to somebody next to you and just smile and tell them, be strong in the Lord? And now would you turn back just a few pages or books or whatever format you may have to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And God does want us to be strong. And let's be honest, how many of us have ever faced either a time or even what we might call a season where we were weak spiritually? Can we just be honest and say, I've been there, done that. And we're human. It doesn't mean we were out of God's will even. But in those times, God wants to be our strength. And so this morning, I believe there are four steps we can take from the scripture that will help us draw on the Lord's strength so that we can be strong in the Lord in those seasons. And it's just like salvation. Salvation is available to all, right? But it's not automatic. And the strength of the Lord is available to us, but it's not automatic. But we can seek him and avail ourselves of strength. And here's the first step. I believe it's so important because if we don't take this one, I don't believe we'll take the others. And that is this. We must first be willing to just admit our need. To admit our need, maybe you say it personally, to admit my need. I'm the one in need here. I need the Lord's strength. I am weak right now spiritually. I feel like I could fall. I feel like just life is just weighing in on me. And so I admit that I need help. A popular pastor, very popular, still to this day, many of his books and sermons are read throughout the world, probably wherever the language is translated. His name was Charles Spurgeon. He pastored a large church in London years ago, and this is what he said: "A primary qualification for serving God well and triumphantly is a sense of our own weakness." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, would you look at verse 7? This man, Paul, is writing, and he says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations," because the Lord revealed many truths to him and mysteries. He says, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me." What was that thorn? "A messenger of Satan to buffet me." That's like to beat on him. And he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." He emphasized that. Verse 8, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect or complete or revealed in weakness." This is a Bible paradox. How is it that Jesus could say, If you're willing to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you'll find it. Or the Bible to say, if you give, you'll gain. It doesn't make sense always, does it? But we know it's true. Here again, he says, if you're willing to admit your human weakness, I'll empower you with my strength. But we have to be willing to admit our need. So he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. That means it's enough. I think we have a tendency when we go through difficulties and hard times, there's nothing wrong with saying, like Paul, Lord, take this away. Get me out of here. This is uncomfortable. I don't like this. And there are times when he does deliver us, but there are also seasons where he might tell us, right now, what you need is just me. You need my grace. I've got what you need. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you strength. You just trust me. So to admit our need, he says, for my strength is made perfect. I believe it's God's strength is revealed. I believe it's even glorified and magnified in our weakness. So he goes on and he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, need, persecution, distress. Here's the key, though, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we just simply come to a place where we're humble enough to admit our need, admit our weakness, then we open the door for God's grace to come in and empower us. Because the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So if we're willing to simply admit, Lord, I need you, I need your help here, and I'm coming to you because I'm acknowledging my need, then when we admit our need, here's what we do. We look beyond ourselves. And so that's the second step, and that is to fellowship with the Lord. So first I admit my need, and then once I'm there, I come to Jesus and fellowship with him. I'll read you these verses from the book of Psalms, because everything, would you say everything? Amen. Everything in the Christian life flows from fellowship with him. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't live this Christian life successfully, and we cannot grow in Christ's likeness without staying in close fellowship with him. So the psalm says this in Psalms 105, those first four verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. See, these are ways we stay in close fellowship with the Lord. It's praise and worship and it's prayer and it's his word. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who what? Seek the Lord. And then verse 4. Would you read this verse out loud with me? You ready? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. So seek the Lord first, not just what I can get out of him, but seek the Lord. Now, thank God he does give us and he strengthens us. Some of you, if you're a parent or any relationship that you value, you don't want somebody coming to you. I want Brittany to come to me if she has a need, and she can. But I wouldn't want to just hear from her whenever she needed me to do something. And don't you know that God, as a father, a perfect father in his heart, he wants his son and his daughters just to come to him, just to enjoy being with him sometime. Now, thank God we are to offer our request, and he is our source, but just that's why I think praise is so important, to just come before him and say, Lord, you're good, and to say thank you and to bless him and to seek him and rejoice in him because he's in my life. And if he just saved me from a devil's hell, I could never thank him enough. But he's done so much for me in eternity and in life and in every day. I thank God I face this life with the Lord every day. So he wants us to enjoy being with him. So he says, seek the Lord and his strength. And then that word face, seek his face evermore, the same Hebrew word is translated face, presence, and countenance. So it means seek his presence continually. So we seek him, We seek his presence. We seek his strength. He commanded us there. Seek the Lord and his strength. So again, it's not automatic, but it is available. If you want to write this scripture down, let me give you this. It's found in 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And then once you get your hands free, if you would turn, if you're there in 2 Corinthians, just go back two or three, I guess three books to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, and if you just hold your spot there. Again, we draw strength from him, like that Amplified Bible says, we draw from his grace. And Paul writes something here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, these last few verses, as far as we know, these were the last words that are written before he was executed. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says this. At my first defense, he's incarcerated. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Think about how many people Paul had helped in all the years. He literally poured his heart out and his strength and energy and resources to help the Christians. And then when he was in need, not one was to be found. And he said, at my first defense, when I went before it, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. And notice what he says here, may it not be charged against them. Hold that thought just a moment. Because when somebody wrongs me, even if I'm not trying to just even the score, I can hold on to that thing a little while. I want God to charge them. All right, Lord, you said vengeance is yours. Get them. Have at it. And get them good. That's what I'm praying, Lord. You get them good. You know, those real spiritual, real prayers. So may it not be charged against them. And I thought about this. Before Paul became a follower of Jesus, he was persecuting Christians, having them arrested, and tried to get them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And he had the authority that when a man named Stephen made people so angry about what he said that they stoned him to death, this man took their cloaks so they could have their arms free to swing harder. And when that man was dying, when Stephen was dying, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing, saying, I see Jesus. He's waiting to receive me when I get there. And then he said, Lord, he's getting hit. Don't charge them with this sin. I had never connected the two, I don't think, before. But now here he is years later and his life's getting ready to end. And he said, people didn't stand with me when I needed them. But Lord, don't charge them. I've been a recipient of your mercy too. They need you. Be strong in the Lord. And I'm going to back up a few weeks here. I knew I was going out of town for a conference a couple weeks ago. And I knew I had some work to do. I had to prepare for that Sunday. I was back with the children, get songs ready and so forth, get ready to go out of town. So I knew I had to get the ball rolling. I started preparing this message before I went to New York. And as getting toward like the weekend, once I know a topic, this is just me, if I know what the Lord wants me to share, I can do the work. I can study. I can try to put it together, pray, and ask the Lord to help me guide my thoughts. And it was coming together. And I did not, as we're getting toward the weekend, I'm going to fly out on Tuesday, and I won't have a lot of time before, well, that week. And I just wasn't easy. I did not have peace about it. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? I felt like if I kept going with it, I wouldn't have been right, that the Lord didn't want me. But I said, Lord, you know, I got to share something here. I can't just show up and say, hey, anybody got anything today? You got a praise? And I think I was upstairs. I was just getting ready one morning, and these words just came to my mind. Take away the stone. And I said, take away the stone. That's what Jesus said, I think. And I go back down. I'm looking, studying. So I get that message kind of going my way before I went to New York. So anyway, I shared that last week. And then this week I had peace that I could go ahead and share this message. But it was as I got into it, I realized, I think, why the Lord opened the door now instead of last week. And here's all I can say is that I don't believe we can be strong in the Lord if we've got that stone of unbelief or that stone of unforgiveness or that stone of unhealthy fear blocking his strength from flowing to us and coming to be in close fellowship. It blocks our fellowship with him, and if he's our strength, then we got to take away the stone. We do our part, take away the stone, and God does his part. Lazarus, come forth. Our natural part, and he does the supernatural. So to be strong in the Lord, first I admit my need, and let me keep reading. Then second, our fellowship with the Lord. So no one stood with him, but verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Who's the one who comes about, who likes to seek to devour and roams about as a roaring lion? Satan, right? And Paul said, and not only did the Lord stand with me and he strengthened me, he took me right on out of the devil's mouth. He strengthened me. That's being strong in the Lord. And so verse 18, not only did he do it, he says, and the Lord will deliver me. He's getting ready to be executed. But the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's ultimately what the strength of the Lord is so that we do his will and he gets the glory. So admit my need, fellowship with the Lord, and then number three, fellowship with his people. So I admit my need. I seek the Lord. I'm really coming before him. I'm strong connection with the Lord. But then I'm also want to have a strong connection with his people. I pray for an unreached people group every day. I get a group on my app. And this week, I'm trying to remember what day it was, maybe Tuesday. This particular people group is in Russia. I think they're called the Agul. And they're shepherds. They live in very mountainous, rough areas. They're known for their toughness. It's hard for people to get there. And some of these groups may have like 0.5 of a 1% Christian or something like that, because there are billions of people who've never heard the gospel in the world. And this particular group they found now has one believer. One believer. How would you like to be that one believer in Russia among that entire people group? Don't you know the Holy Spirit in them wants to fellowship with someone to say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, or let me. And we have the blessing and privilege. Let's take advantage of it, because not everyone in the world has the freedoms that we enjoy. You just heard earlier this morning some joining online. They want to be here, because I'll just ask it this way. Are we stronger when we're separated and isolated, or are we stronger when we're together? We're stronger together. One of the messages I heard when we were at the pastor's conference was by a pastor up in, I think it was Quebec. He was in Canada. It's like they're like an unreached people group. There's so few Christians up there. And he said something I wrote down. I thought it was important. He said, isolation makes us vulnerable. Isolation makes us vulnerable. I thought about that again this morning. Think about King David. It was a time the kings lead the people out to war, and instead of him leading his troops, he stays home. And it ended up costing him dearly because of what happened later that night and then through the course of weeks. What about Elijah, the prophet, a man of God? He calls on the Lord, and the Lord sends fire down from heaven, defeats the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and the queen says, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. He runs for his life and hides because he believed something that wasn't true. He thought he was the only one. And God went to him in tenderness and said, no, you're not. I've got 7,000 more. You're not alone. Get back in the game. Get your rest. Get your strength. But then, come on, I want you to anoint this one, anoint that one. Disciple Elisha after you. You still have a call. You have a purpose. Again, that's we're strong in the Lord for his purpose and glory. Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this. Acts 16, 4, oh, let me turn to it. Verses 4 and 5 says, as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep. That was what they had written in Acts chapter 15 of the Word of God. And he says he delivered them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches, notice, were strengthened in the faith and increased in number every Sunday. Increased in numbers daily. See, the believers were strengthened together, and out of their strength of the fellowship with the Lord and the strength of fellowship with one another, it made a difference in how they lived every day. And it wasn't just, you know, when they met together, people came to the Lord. They were effective ambassadors and witnesses out wherever they were, or people wouldn't have been able to come to the Lord every day. So do you see why the Lord wants us to be strong? It's ultimately, he wants us to be strong, but he wants us to be strong for him, in him, so that he can use us to be fruitful for his glory. Because the Lord knows the temptations and battles and trials in the world just weigh us down, don't they? And we just need the Lord to strengthen us. Be strong in the Lord. So I admit my need. Then fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with his people, and finally, feed on his word. Feed on his word. What we see and what we hear and what we think on gets into us, and it feeds something. But much of what we see and hear and think on in our world feeds anger, feeds pride, feeds fear, insecurity, immorality, greed, all the rest. It feeds that. And I believe we have to just make it, we have to develop the discipline, I'll say it that way, of feeding our spirit, feeding our faith in God with his inspired word every day. If we only ate one meal a week physically, how strong would we be? Not very strong, right? Now, thank God we can come. I hope you're eating right now, wherever you are. But please don't just wait on me to feed you, right? You know what kids do when they start eating? They just want to get their hands in, and where is it going? Right in their mouth. And spiritually, I believe the Lord wants us to do that, but with discernment. Don't just take everything in, but take his word in. The Bible says this in Psalms 119, verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Do you see how we need the strength that comes from God's word? Remember what Joshua 1:8 said? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So we have to receive the word if we want to grow. We feed our faith. We listen to it. We hear it. We think about it. That's the part that I think is a lost art today. And confess it and share it. But think of all the thoughts we think throughout a day and throughout a week. How many of them are feeding our faith? How many of them are building us up spiritually and drawing us closer to the Lord? I read about a lady who, one of the devotions I read, the police showed up at her house one morning and regrettably told her that her 23-year-old son had taken his life. And you know, it's hard to even imagine what somebody goes through in a time like that. But she said they began to question and wondering, why did he do that? How didn't we? And then they started questioning God. God, why'd you let this happen? And this is what she said in the devotional. She said, we kept repeating that question but never got an answer. So when I asked for help, God revealed to me through Psalm 91 what I needed most. to rest in God's presence and trust in God's love and goodness. I knew that this was possible only through a deep and close relationship with Him, with Jesus. This is what she says. Reading Scripture gave me strength to go on. In prayer, I poured out my heart to Jesus, and in time, I came to a place of peace, and the tormenting questions lost their power over me. What a powerful testimony. But do you see how it could have been a lot different if she would have distanced herself from the Lord and from His word and fellowship? It's hard to even imagine a greater earthly tragedy, but God gave her grace and met her where she was. And she took the right steps, and now she's come to a place of healing and peace to be able to move on in her life. I want to give you just one last scripture. It's a familiar one, Isaiah chapter 40. If you want to turn, find Isaiah chapter 40. Be strong in the Lord. Admit my need, fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with His people, and feed on His word. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28. Let me read these words. I'll give you a moment while you're turning. To give you that time to look, if you'll write this reference down too, it's Genesis 1:9. Genesis 1:9. I'll refer back to that when I read these verses, okay? So Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Verse 29, "He gives power to the weak." So if I think I'm good, I'm strong, I don't need Him, then I cut it off. But if I admit He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Let me pause there just a second. God doesn't strengthen us to push us or wear us out. He strengthens us to do His will. That's important. That's all He calls us to do. Not what everybody else calls us to do necessarily. He calls us to do what He said. So then He goes on in verse 30, and He describes a time when He says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Thank God. They wait. That word wait is also translated hope. It means wait and hope. But here's how it's translated in Genesis 1:9. The Lord spoke to the waters and He said, "Let all the waters be gathered together in one place." See those two words, gathered together? It's the same Hebrew word translated wait in Isaiah 40:31. "But those who are gathered together to the Lord shall renew their..." I just love that picture. Because waiting, we tend to think of waiting in a negative context. I've been waiting all day for the microwave. No. So that waiting, but to wait in hope. And while I'm waiting, I'm staying close to the Lord. I'm gathered together with Him. I'm gathered together with His people in His word. And then as I do so, then the Lord renews my strength like an eagle. Like an eagle. Some birds, you see them when they fly, they do a lot of flapping. Eagles soar. They spread those wings out and they just ride the currents. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, to be filled with His Spirit and be in obedience to Him, stay close to Him, and then He strengthens. That's being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You think you could focus on that this week? Those at least five words, be strong in the Lord, and let it draw us. Every time we feel weak, let's make it a good thing, and let's draw to the Lord and to ask Him to strengthen us in fellowship to do His will. I want to close with this. First of all, are you in Christ? Because that's the difference of eternity right there. Do you know the Lord? Have you come to a place, doesn't matter if you're 5 or 105, where the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, saying, "I have done wrong, and I know it in my heart. But I believe Jesus loved me enough to die on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe He came back to life the third day, and right now, Lord, I'm giving myself to You. I believe in You. Make me a new man. Forgive me. Make me a new woman, a new person." If you want to be made new today, Jesus can do it. Forgive in the past and empower you to live for him throughout this life. And when you fall, because you still will, he'll give you grace to help you keep going and stay close to him. Maybe today, do you need your spiritual strength renewed? Jesus said, if you're weary and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give rest for your soul, but I'll strengthen your spirit. So today, if that's you, if you need to come to the Lord, he invites us, let's take advantage of it. Let's come to him. Be strong in the Lord. There's a hymn, I don't know what key it's in. One verse says, I hear my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Can we stand? Yes, Lord. Thank you. I hear you say, Lord, at times my strength is weak. But Lord, you're my strength. Help me to find you to be my all in all. The scripture says, strengthen the weak. I hope that, Lord, you would do that even in our midst today. Those who need a renewing, maybe someone just doesn't know you yet, draw them to yourself, Lord, and do a work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.